Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's time to get happy because it's Fan Mail Friday,
in which we hear a tale of brotherly love
and get an invite to visit Beer City, USA. How about that, Patrick? We really should do that sometime. Right, Patrick? Patrick? Where'd you go? Friday, Patrick.
Ah, it's Friday. Again, it's been a good way to come back from vacation, Jim. We've sort of eased in here at the Tiki House.
Yeah,
and we should stay a couple more weeks.
Greg, can you pour me one of those real quick? Thank you. Yeah, we're at Greg Wilson's house. Yeah,
and it's great because he'll stand behind the bar.
He's not only guest co-host, but also bartender.
Yes. We're spoiled, man.
That's right. This is really nice. You don't pour me draft beers when I come over to your house.
I do not. Nope.
You just reach around to the cooler behind your
chair.
That's
right. For the beers you brought.
Is everyone else taken care of?
I'm
Patrick?
Good. I'm good. For
You're good?
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. So we're excited because it's Friday. We're at Greg's house. On some Fridays, we like to answer listener correspondence. Mm-hmm. We call it Fan Mail Friday. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Greg Wilson.
And again, thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Sure.
So should we get right into it
Let's
here?
Let's do it.
All right. It's been a while because of vacations
and such.
We were
on vacation. It's been a couple of weeks. We had Elvis Week. We had a lot going on.
That's right. So speaking of Elvis Week, we did get a email here about Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit long, but bear with me here for a moment while I try to read this in this drunken haze today. Okay. It is from Todd from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And Todd says, I've been a huge Elvis Costello fan since seeing him on Saturday Night Live in 1977. I was 17 at the time, and it made a major impression. I saw Elvis and the Attractions the first time in February 1978 at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia. Mm. This was before this year's model hit the street. I was blown away. I remember some folks leaving the show early. They must have come for the mellower My Aim Is True tunes and weren't ready for the full force of the Attractions and the many this year's model songs that they played.
Yeah.
And we discussed how that album sort of, you know,
absolutely
took it to another level. Yeah. Okay. He says, I saw them again in April 79 during the Armed Forces tour. My brother and sister waited in line for tickets and they were shut out. Then they added a second night and we got tickets about eight rows back just off center. Another amazing show. As an aside, the opening act was the Rubinews.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Four clean-cut California kids singing bubblegum rock.
Yeah.
Might not have been the best fit for Elvis, but they were amazing. Great songs, and I still have their first two albums and listen to them regularly. Check them out. They do that song, I Want to Be Your Boyfriend.
That's right.
Which is a great little pop song.
Yep.
Anyway.
Power pop.
That's my little aside. And also, it seems like a perfect fit for Elvis Costello.
Absolutely.
All right. Anyway. Then he says, I have attached a picture of the Live at Hollywood High 7-inch. Yes. You know this, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the original that I got when buying Armed Forces and some pictures of several Elvis Costello and the Attractions 45s that I bought in college, Penn State 82. These songs later appeared on Taking Liberties. Here's what's on them. He has 45s of I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea, Radio Radio, New Amsterdam, Oliver's Army. I also have 45... by the Attractions without Elvis. Two songs on it. Arms Race by Bruce Thomas and Steve Thomas. I've seen those battery operated all kinds of fornicating, formulating impulse and ways, sorting without warning. Warning up today, lovers come tomorrow, handcuff couples you can cuddle in the rubble, but before you're in trouble, it's a arms race. And Lonesome Little Town by Steve Naive. Hmm. Not bad, but not Elvis.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then he says, I have seen Elvis solo and with the Attractions Imposters many times and always enjoyed it. Highlights include a show in 1987 in London at the Royal Albert Hall when he was doing the spinning songbook
the
first time.
Classic.
Flew to London from Germany where I was stationed in the army just to see the show. Needless to say, I had to see Elvis again when he brought back the Spinning Songbook in 2011. Flew back to Philadelphia to see that show with my brother at the Tower Theater, Elvis's home venue in my heart. Amazing show that night, made extra special going to the show with my brother, just like the old times. And for the record, my favorite Elvis record is Get Happy. I listen to them all, but that one most of all. Cheers. Wow. And keep up the fine podcast, Todd, Omaha, Nebraska.
What a nice email.
Yeah.
Man, that guy's a big Elvis Costello fan. That's incredible.
Huge.
I mean, is that right? Wow.
Yes. And if you want to see the photos here of the, the records, you can take a look at that. But I remember you know, we're talking about that 7-inch.
I specifically was fascinated by the fact that Armed Forces first came with a 7-inch Live from Hollywood High, which I think later they reissued the whole concert that's somewhere out there on Spotify. But I thought it was so cool they put a free 7-inch inside the album when it first came out.
And you don't have that, do you?
I do not. Nope. That eludes me. And that's
Todd,
one on my list
Todd's
that I want to get.
Beat.
I know.
Okay. Thank you very much
very
for that,
nice,
Todd.
Todd.
That was really
Thanks,
cool.
man.
And then I think we have a call.
Okay, great.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. This is Keith Jagison calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan, also known as Beer City, which coincidentally, I mean, I think it's just calling for a remote broadcast of the podcast here. We've got Founders, of course, which you guys like to enjoy drinking the all-day IPA right here in Grand Rapids, and then Bell's and New Holland Breweries about 30, 40 minutes away from here. So. Hey, I'm calling about the episode on car stereos. Back in the early 90s when I was going to college at Western Michigan University, I worked a couple summers out in Yellowstone National Park. And one year when I was driving out there in my Ford Tempo, which just had a tape deck, I decided it would be genius if I hooked up my 6-CD cartridge changer from my stereo system using one of those power inverters in there. Plug it in through the cassette, and I thought, hey, I'm all set. I've got 6 CDs of music going here. It's going to be great for this trip. So it did work on the trip. Problem was when I got back, it only played half a CD. I don't think that those CD players were meant for traveling and the not having the rough road, I guess. So, but the end of that story is my father was an engineer, and I was a poor college student, so I asked him if he could help fix it. So he attempted to fix it, and when he got done with it, it wouldn't play any CDs anymore. And seeing that it used to play half a CD, and me being a poor college student, my dad did go halvesies so that I could buy a new 6-disc changer. So enjoy the show. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks.
Wow, that was fabulous. First question, can we stay at your house, Keith, when we come to Grand Rapids? Because I would love to go to Beer City, USA.
Yes, stumble back to his place.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's right.
That's right. That was funny.
Great story.
It's funny. It's funny how people are always trying to sort of like jury rig things to make get their music into their car. Greg, do you have any car stereo memories?
Oh, yes. I can tell you that I took the Kenwood speakers that I referred to in a prior episode and put them in the back of a 1981 Oldsmobile Cutlass Cruiser station wagon. And I, you know, duct taped the speakers in, but I never anchored them around the back. So when you took a turn, both speakers would slide around like this back and forth. But it had good sound.
Yeah, I bet it sounded good.
Good times.
Yeah. We did an episode on car stereos in which we learned that Jim once owns a Mazda Miata.
I did.
You did.
I did. That was a. That
did
was,
you have the raccoon tail in order to put that onto the
that was
antenna?
Not a, that was not a good choice. That's not a good choice of vehicle. I don't recommend it to anyone as a primary vehicle, especially in a northern climate.
Right. Yeah, that caused a few problems. Key West, maybe all right, but right. Yeah. Well, that was nice from Keith. Yeah,
that was good.
I love the fact that when his dad got done working on it, it didn't play.
It didn't
at
work
all.
At all.
That's right. Thanks, Dad.
Good stuff. Okay. All right, let's take a little break. We'll come back. We got a couple more
Sounds good.
Pieces of correspondence.
Yeah.
Patrick, you ever go on this thing called the internet?
Sometimes I do. Uh-huh. I like to look up what time the movies are playing. Movie phone.
I'm glad that's where you went with what you like to look up.
Yeah. That's No, the movies in the theater.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like to look up a little website called suburbspod.com.
Oh, that's a good website. I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's information about my favorite podcast, Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yes.
Show notes. Mm-hmm. Tells you about what songs we played and other little, you know, musings and so on. And sometimes there's even articles, right?
There are articles. I penned an article the other day about Glenn Campbell, Resting in Power, a little obituary of him, and a little thank you. And speaking of thank yous, I want to thank our intern, Sam Lisker, who's a student at Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York, and he has helped us organize a lot of the episodes and get all the information in there. So it's really looking sharp these days.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Now, is Sam... I noticed Sam's not here with us at the Tiki Bar. Not. Is he not of age?
He may not be. I didn't ask for his ID when he applied. Okay. He was also the only applicant.
Okay.
So I hired him on the spot.
Well, he's doing a great job.
He really is. He's a fine man.
Kudos to Sam. Yep. And also, you know, I was thinking another thing we might want to start doing on the podcast, maybe mm-hmm. we can get Sam on this, is have listeners send us photos of fun stuff. Like, you know, how we get listeners sending us, like, photos of their record collections mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to get, like, a gallery of, like, people's, like music rooms.
Oh, that'd be so great.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, record collections, uh-huh. all the records and that kind of thing.
Be so fabulous.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get
Sam on that.
Okay, Sam. Okay. You've got your assignment.
All right. So visit suburbspod.com.
It's all happening there.
Okay, and we're back?
We are back.
And like I said, we got a couple more pieces to get through here from the listeners for Fan Mail Friday.
Yeah.
But you know what's another thing we haven't done in a while? We did it last time when we were over here with
Greg. What's that?
We played a little game, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Want to do that again?
What was that game?
Driving and Crying.
Driving and Crying. Yeah. That's right. That was really fun. Did you enjoy that, Greg?
It was one of the better games I've ever played on a podcast before.
Very good. Okay. So who wants to start us off?
I don't know. Why don't we let our host start us off?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah. All right.
Although I don't know if you think that's a disadvantage strategy-wise, Greg.
No, sometimes it's best to make the first move.
Okay. You won the coin toss, so you can defer if you like, or you can start us off.
Then I will defer.
Okay. Jim wasn't ready for deferring.
He said it was strategically good to start, and then he deferred.
Then he's going to kick off instead of receive.
But. I've been waiting the entire podcast to throw Jim off, and it's taken me a long time.
Yeah. Well, you've done it.
4.5 days now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I will say it's a complex game, though, so you never know which way to go with this, right? Okay.
All right, I will begin. I'm going to open with this coming at you, Jim. I'm going to start with Naked Ray Gun.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, give me a second here to think about that. All right, I'm going to go with the Ohio Players.
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Nice. The Style Council.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dokken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really pulled that one out, right?
Well, then I have to go Eddie from Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's
play.
Homegrown, too.
Yeah.
How about Waxahachie?
Okay. All right. Okay. Husker Du. And I think because there's umlauts involved,
yes.
I get double points for that.
That's right. Yeah. Well played. Yeah. In the third round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carbon Leaf.
Ooh.
There's only one way to beat that.
Yeah, and I don't think I have it. I'm going to play Giant Sand.
Giant Sand? Where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Goober and the Peas.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pass.
All right. Dirt Bombs.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay. Fetching Bones. Greg, we need an answer. Time is almost out.
Squeeze.
Ooh. Okay.
Driving and Crying.
Oh. It's probably because he took so long.
Yeah, that's right. He left me open there.
Yeah. All right. All right. Good game.
Yeah, very good game.
Thankfully, it's the preseason.
Yeah, it is the preseason. After Labor Day is when we get serious.
Okay. All right. Good game.
It's a good game.
Yes.
Pretty fair all around. We took it into the fifth round there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Five rounds. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty long game, actually. Good.
Well done.
All right. Good job. All right. So now let's get back to the correspondence.
Yeah,
the Fan Mail Friday stuffs. So if we go to the email bag, we have here an email from Mike Wagner of Houston.
All right.
He's emailed us before.
Yeah, it's a good man.
He's emailing about the show we did about U2.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey guys, just listening to the U2 shows episode. Great discussion. Also, Grapefruit Sculpin is a standard for me.
Ah.
Remember we were drinking that night?
Yes, we were. Uh-huh. Ballast Point.
He says, this place we go play shuffleboard has it, so always get it there. Anyway, back to U2. I can promise I was at this show, and he has a link here to a show from the original Joshua Tree Tour, 1987, at the Summit in Houston.
Okay.
That was the old basketball arena
there.
The
Rockets used to play.
Yes, that's right. He says, I also went to the show the next night, which I got to sit fifth row. However, at the first show, they played the song 40.
Okay.
And went off stage one by one as they normally did.
Mm-hmm.
After the song was over, the lights went up and the crowd started to file out, singing 40.
Mm-hmm.
I remember filing out and then the lights went back down.
Whoa.
It was electric. And U2 came back out and played A Trip Through Your Wires, and Neil Young's Southern Man.
Wow.
I have never been to a show where this has happened before or since. It was amazing. Later that tour, they played two nights in Fort Worth, and I had the chance for tickets for both nights, but could only afford the first. The second night was the night they filmed B.B. King for Rattlin' Hum.
Oh, wow.
Never forgiven myself for missing that one. Paying rent is overrated.
Well said.
Yeah. So how about that? Have you ever been, you normally when you're in a show and the house lights go on, that's the indication that they're not coming back out, right? The encores are over. Stop it. Get out. But have you ever had that happen where then the band did come back on? I've never seen that happen.
I don't know. Greg, do you have any?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I ever have. I can't off the top of my head think of it. I'm trying to think if there's any reason, anyone, but I can't really think of that. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you gave it some thought.
Yeah, I definitely gave it some thought. I was trying to think of a certain band.
You're looking on your phone
here.
The Eels
is the band. You know, remember this band?
I do know the Eels.
Yeah. So that didn't happen, but what happened was, I was just trying to remember the name of the band. I remember the singer's name, but I couldn't remember the name of the band.
You could have played Eels in Driving and Cry. There was a round there where that would have been a good
fit.
But yeah, go on.
It was at the 9:30 Club in Washington, D.C., and the show ended. Lights went out. Everybody cheered for a while. He didn't come back. And then, the PA music starts to play. The house lights come up. Everybody starts to walk out. As we were walking out, he's in the little foyer with his acoustic guitar, playing a song as all the people are walking out the door. And the bouncers are like, can't stop here, because it would have clogged up the whole area and people just kept filing out. But he was standing right there playing a song with no microphone or anything. So I thought that was a pretty cool way to end a show.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
All right. That's cool. All right. So we have a really good, I think, ending song.
Perfect.
Here from one more email that we got.
Okay.
First, let's just close this up by saying,
business.
Please send us your correspondence.
Yep.
You can call us. That number is 612-440-1984.
And
you can leave a message like Keith did.
Mm-hmm.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
And then Also, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com, or you can comment on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All those have the same handle. It is Suburbs Pod. Yes. And we mentioned you could visit our website, suburbspod.com, and you should listen to the show pretty frequently.
Every day
mm-hmm. on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or any other podcast platforms. And I think that pretty much covers it,
Yeah.
All right.
It's been a good week. Thank you very much, Greg, for your hospitality.
You're welcome. Got to come back.
Yes.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
All right.
Maybe not.
All right. So here we're going to close out with this email from David Walter.
Okay.
And it's regarding when we talked about the B-52s on one of the Perfect Pop episodes.
I remember.
And that was a pick from Bill Horn.
Yes.
Pick the B-52 song, Rock Lobster. And David says he was in Vegas for work. And he says, I was in Vegas for work and thought I would catch the B-52s at House of Blues. I did not know they were still playing live, but I guess they are.
Interesting. Right.
Okay. One of the songs played before the concert was The Sound of the Suburbs by The Members, 1979.
Okay.
I have never heard this before, but thought of you guys on the patio drinking adult beverages. Have you heard of this song? So, do you know the song,
The Members? I don't know the song. I know the band, The Members, but I don't know the song.
All right. Sound of the Suburbs. So, we're going to leave with that. We'll all get to enjoy it together.
Excellent.
Thanks again for listening. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Greg Wilson.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Boom. I can't off the top of my head think of it. I'm trying to think if there's any reason, anyone, but I can't really think of that. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you gave it some thought.
Yeah, I definitely gave it some thought.